Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Good news for home buyers in the Triangle. Home prices are down thousands of dollars. We look at the areas seeing the biggest drop in prices.
And it's a big weekend for weather, Mother's Day, and graduations. I'll walk you through our chances for thunderstorms. Plus, inflation pressure is easing. That's according to a new report out this morning. How wholesale prices compare to previous months.
We have another nice day ahead for your lunch hour this noon, but it's never too early to start thinking about the weekend and Mother's Day with that forecast.
Mom just wants to see you and spend time with you. Meteorologist Alyssa Gardner looks at the chances for isolated showers this weekend for any celebration you may have. Elizabeth.
And Mom does not want to cook or clean. We've got to add that too. Here's our setup. We're going to get into a real strong flow coming out of the south that's going to warm things up by Saturday and bring extra moisture into the atmosphere. Then we have this front that's going to drop in on us, but not until fairly late on Saturday. So isolated to scattered thunderstorms late Saturday into Saturday night. And then for Sunday, we're looking pretty good because that front's going to be south of us. It'll be a little bit drier, not as moist, and we'll have fewer thunderstorms. So here's a look at Saturday at lunchtime. It's nice and dry, but you can see by the time we get to 4 or 5 o'clock, we're beginning to see some thunderstorms pop up, especially in our northeastern counties. That's 7 o'clock Friday evening. Those will move all the way south through the viewing area during Saturday night and end up fizzling out by around 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. This is Sunday at 8 a.m. We are likely to start with some cloud cover, but we'll see some breaks in the clouds most likely around lunchtime. And then closer to 4 or 5 o'clock, we might see a few isolated showers or thunderstorms pop up. You can see the coverage there. Sunday is pretty minimal. Should give us really most of the day to get outside and enjoy Mom or inside or whatever you're doing with Mom. It looks like that our chance for thunderstorms and showers in general is fairly low. Saturday late in the day, we'll have that chance beginning, and then overnight it picks up. Sunday, it's a 20% chance during the day, and then we may see another round on Monday. So here's your Mother's Day planner. If you're going to be out around say 9 a.m., 71 degrees. Brunch time is going to be upper 70s to around 80, and we'll see highs in the afternoon in the low 80s. Should be a beautiful day. Coming up, we have the forecast for graduations.
Look forward to it, Elizabeth. Thank you. There is some good news for people on the hunt for a home in the Triangle. Prices are down tens of thousands of dollars from when they peaked this time last year. WRL's Matt Tallhelm is live in Fuquay Varina to show us how much those home prices are falling. Matt.
Yeah, Jeff, you can see the builders are busy here behind me here. You know, a shortage of homes for sale in the Triangle, that's part of what kept prices high here. We are heading into what is typically some of the busiest weeks for home sales in the Triangle. And this time last year, the housing market was on fire. We all remember the frenzy of that. The median sales price here in Raleigh and Wake County peaked right around this time last year at $476,000. But take a look at a new report with some new numbers from the National Association of Realtors. They show the median price in Raleigh fell to $420,000 in the first 3 months of this year. That's a 4.3% drop from the same time last year. And when you look at Durham and Chapel Hill, that market, the median price was $412,600. That is down 1.3% compared to last year. Nationwide, though, about 7 out of 10 housing markets actually saw an increase in prices. The association's chief economist says, in general, home prices are lower right now in some of those more expensive markets, and they're higher in the more affordable cities. You don't have to go too far, really, to find that in the Triangle. Some areas with home prices that are higher than a year ago, Fayetteville and Burlington, both saw the median sales price increase more than 10% compared to the first quarter of 2022. And as you come back out here and look live at the work that's being done to build these homes, higher interest rates, of course, are playing into all of this. It costs more to borrow money to get a mortgage to buy one of these homes. That's one of the big things we've seen over the last year and a big shift in the market. Now, we're talking to some realtors here in the Triangle to find out what this all means, especially if you are buying or selling in this busy spring market. You'll hear from them starting on WRAL News at 4. Jeff.
Hopefully those interest rates ease just a little bit as well for everybody. Matt Tallhelm live in Fuquay Varina. Thank you. Over in Cumberland County we go now. Interstate 95 is back open right now because, and this is after a crash caused miles of backups. This is video from WRL Sky 5 this morning. That crash closed all northbound lanes of I-95 near exit 33, right near Hope Mills. The crash itself appeared to be under the bridge. No word on any injuries at this time.
Raleigh police need your help finding the man they say robbed a bank in Briar Creek. It happened at the State Employees Credit Union on TW Alexander Drive. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was there on scene Wednesday afternoon. Police have yet to release a description of the robber. They say he gave a teller a note demanding money. Investigators say the teller handed over the cash and the man ran away. A Wake County woman wants to know why someone threw a rock at her car windshield while she was driving home from work, causing serious damage to her car and putting her life in danger. Take a look at the damage. Tiana Cook says a rock came at her in the opposite direction during her drive home on Mile Plantation Road around 10 last Friday night. She says glass shattered into her eyes. But fortunately, she walked away unharmed. She now finds herself worried to drive in that area.
And now going home at night, literally, I'm like this. I'm scared and I'm like blocking because I'm scared it's going to happen again.
WRAL has received reports about a similar incident that reportedly took place on May 2nd, just a couple miles away on Smithfield Road. We've reached out to several law enforcement agencies for more information.
Today, Governor Roy Cooper is meeting with doctors for a third day in a row, talking about the dangers of the new controversial abortion bill. He is expected to veto that bill Saturday. Cooper will be in Gibsonville for another roundtable discussion, marking the third day this week. He has traveled around the state to meet with doctors, abortion rights advocates, and lawmakers to rally support. The newly proposed measure limits abortions after 12 weeks instead of 20. It also requires multiple in-person medical visits for people looking to get an abortion, and patients would need to give more personal information to doctors, who then have to report it to the state. A local woman is charged with killing her fiancé just 2 days after he proposed. Police say Antoine Chisholm was found dead on the lawn of his home on Monday. Petit Bell, Chisholm's fiancé, and Howard Covington Jr. were arrested and charged in his death. Police aren't releasing a motive for the killing. Chisholm's mother spoke with WRAL and said he leaves behind six children.
We have another sign that inflation may be easing. WRL's Brian Schrader has a look at this morning's economic news. Brian.
Yeah, yesterday we told you about the prices that we pay as consumers, and today we got to look at the prices that businesses are paying. This is the Producer Price Index, which is a measure of wholesale prices. Take a look here. From March to April, those prices rose 0.2%. That was less than expected. For the year, they were up 2.3%, and that is the lowest reading since January of 2021. Gerald Cohen is chief economist at UNC Chapel Hill's Kenan Institute. He says this week's inflation news is mixed. Good in some sectors, but not so good in important areas like housing costs.
I think that if I were the Fed, I'd say it's moving in the right direction, but it's not moving fast enough, and there are some things that are worrying about it.
Now, we're looking deeper into the data, and yesterday we told you that at the consumer level, the prices that we pay, egg prices, were down 1.5% last month. Well, we learned this morning at the wholesale level, they plunged 38%. Now, that's not related to inflation. That was because of the avian flu, but we'll take the good news wherever we can get it, at the grocery store.
We certainly will. Brian Schrader, thanks for that update.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we'll take you out to Wall Street for a look at the stocks here. You can see the Dow Jones down more than 250 points this afternoon. The S&P 500 down 12. NASDAQ futures, the NASDAQ market is actually up 23 right now. That is the only market that's in the positive. But we're looking at two big factors here. Disney shares fell more than 8% after they released their fiscal second quarter results. And we're also learning of more bank trouble. Pacific Western Bank says their shares fell more than 22% on Thursday. They had already fallen 40% this month and more than 70% for the year. The bank did come out today and said they do have access to $15 billion in immediate liquidity if needed.
We have a live look for you right now, Raleigh-Durham International Airport, where this weekend is expected to be one of the busiest of the year. New predictions by RDU today show Mother's Day and graduation weekend are contributing to the increase in travel. RDU expects more than 177,000 passengers to fly through the airport from Monday through Friday. Passenger traffic is expected to be heaviest tomorrow, followed by Sunday. And new at noon, the town of Morrisville will soon have a high school named after it. The town has been fighting to have a school in their namesake, and yesterday the Wake County School Board's Facilities Committee approved the recommendation. Morrisville High School is scheduled to open in 2027. The full board is expected to vote on the school name June 6th.
The Carolina Hurricanes will look to punch their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. The Canes will host the New Jersey Devils in Game 5 of their series at PNC Arena. Carolina has a 3-1 lead in the best-of-7 series after a convincing win in Game 4 in New Jersey Tuesday night. Tonight's game will get started at 7. If you're headed to the game tonight, you may want to leave earlier than usual. PNC Arena officials are warning that traffic might be difficult because of construction projects around the arena. They're encouraging you to plan ahead, leave early, maybe carpool instead, or consider alternate routes.
500 Side has learned 2.2 million Peloton bikes are being recalled for a defect we first told you about last week. The seat post on these exercise bikes have been breaking, and 13 people say they've been hurt. People should stop using the bikes with model number PL01 and contact Peloton for a free replacement seat post. You can find more about this recall and others on 500 Side's team reporting on. Just go to WRL.com and search recall. Community support is growing for a well-known North Carolina dairy farmer critically injured on his farm. Family of Randy Lewis says he's recovering from the first of many reconstructive surgeries. A bull attacked him on his farm last weekend, and his family has owned Ranlew Milk Company in Snow Camp for generations. The family is also asking for volunteers to work at the farm. Dozens of people have already signed up for that. Lewis is being treated in the ICU at UNC hospitals. The family set up a GoFundMe page to help with the medical expenses.
Next at noon, it was renewed more than a dozen times, but today officially ends a COVID-19 public health emergency. The effect it had on our country and what's next.
Also, artificial intelligence handling your finances. Are you comfortable with that? How experts say it could revolutionize the industry.
Plus, they're carrying the load. How this relay spans 20,000 miles and who it honors. On January 31st, 2020, COVID-19 was declared a public health emergency in the U.S.
Well, today, that health emergency will expire. It has been renewed 14 times in total as we fought the virus. John Lawrence looks back on the impact and what's ahead for COVID.
For more than 3 years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected aspects of everyday life for people worldwide.
The United States got hit particularly hard by this pandemic. There's all sorts of reasons for that. But one of the big ones is that we were not very healthy going into this pandemic.
But the disease's grip on the globe is going away as the Biden White House is allowing the COVID public health emergency to expire Thursday. This comes as COVID-19 weekly cases and hospitalizations are down drastically from previous years.
I think for some people, this is going to seem very arbitrary and accelerated that the emergency part of this pandemic is coming to an end. For other people, they're going to say, hey, look, months ago, maybe even a year ago, I was sort of through this.
While this is a milestone moment, health officials, including CNN's chief medical correspondent, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, say COVID-19 was still responsible for around 1,100 weekly deaths in the U.S. at the end of last month.
That's about 54, 55,000 a year that would die if those numbers stayed the same, which is basically a really bad flu season. We could do better, but that's where we are right now.
But Gupta says the U.S., and the world for that matter, has tools to fight the virus.
There's no reason anyone should die of this disease anymore. We have the technology to prevent that from happening.
I'm John Lawrence reporting.
The World Health Organization ended its global health emergency status for COVID-19 last week. The WHO's data says there have been more than 765 million confirmed cases worldwide since the pandemic started.
Former President Donald Trump responds to questions about being found liable for sexually abusing writer E. Jean Carroll and how it may impact female voters. He addressed the issue at a CNN town hall last night.
They're doing this for election interference. This woman, I don't know her. I never met her. I have no idea who she is. This is a fake story, made up story.
Trump also answered questions about January 6th, saying if reelected, he may pardon some of the rioters from that day. He also said he did not owe former Vice President Mike Pence an apology for putting him in danger. The CEO of the company that created ChatGPT is set to testify before Congress next Tuesday. Sam Altman will testify before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Privacy, Technology, and Law, likely about concerns regarding artificial intelligence and how to regulate this rapidly advancing technology. Just last week, Altman and other tech CEOs joined Vice President Kamala Harris at the White House for a discussion about the risks that AI poses.
A relay spanning 20,000 miles in honor of our nation's servicemen and women. It arrived in the Triangle today. A group of volunteers representing the group Carry the Load will spend the day walking and riding from the fire station on Poole Road to the Raleigh National Cemetery. This is new video from this morning. The goal of the relay is to honor fallen military and first responders ahead of Memorial Day and raise money for veterans. Started at 8 o'clock this morning, so hopefully they weren't sweating too bad early on.
No, the temperatures feel really comfortable, although we will get into the 80s a little bit later. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. You know, I love hanging out with you guys, but I can't wait to get outside.
Yeah, I think we're going to be hitting the door running today, that's for sure. I was out there just a little while ago, and it just feels so nice. It's beautiful. Look at this. Just a few little puffy cumulus clouds out there. This is, of course, a live look at downtown Durham, looking so pretty. 78 is our current temperature. And here's the key to it feeling good. It's the number right here, the dew point. As long as the number of the, as long as the dew point is in the 50s, when our temperatures are in the 80s, it feels very comfortable. Now, once that dew point starts to climb into the mid 60s or higher, that starts to feel sticky and not as pleasant. But today, that dew point and humidity is going to stay nice and low. We'll climb into the low 80s for highs this afternoon, and then we back it into the 70s by 6 and 7 o'clock this evening. So just beautiful weather. Right now, it's 77 in Fayetteville and in Southern Pines, 76 in Goldsboro, 72 in Roxboro. So everybody's seeing these very pleasant temperatures. Let's talk about what happens with the temperatures next. You know, we're almost to the middle of May, and at this point, we could go ahead and be leaping into real summer-like weather where it's hot and humid. That's going to happen, you know, sometime in the next few weeks. But look here. So the yellow color contours are an indication of temperatures that are just a little above normal. The blue is where temperatures are below normal. So watch what happens as we get closer to Saturday. A little bit of orange sneaks in, so temperatures will be above normal by then. But once we get into early next week, the temperatures start to back off closer to normal. Our normal is 78 degrees, 79 degrees. And then we have some cooler air. By Tuesday and Wednesday, watch the blue color contours. That cool air coming down the East Coast from Canada is going to keep our temperatures from getting out of control just yet. 83 degrees in Raleigh, 83 in Durham, 85 in Fayetteville. That's our forecast for this afternoon. 89 is our normal high. And so 87 on Saturday gets us well above that. It's going to feel stickier on Saturday. And we do have a good chance of some scattered thunderstorms late in the day. The bulk of Saturday, I feel like right now, looks like it'll be dry, but evening and overnight thunderstorms are likely. Here's a look at that dew point. We keep it in the 50s today and Friday, so we're in good shape. But that 67 is going to feel a lot more like summer on Saturday. And then we drop it a little for Sunday. And then on Monday, we're back into the 50s again. If you're headed to the Carolina Hurricanes game tonight, that's going to be such an exciting game and a great evening for tailgating. At 5 o'clock, 81 degrees, at game time 77, and then in the low 70s when folks are heading out of the arena. Mother's Day, it's going to be fine. We're going to see 82 degrees. Our humidity drops off a little bit. We do have the potential for a stray afternoon or evening shower or thunderstorm. We're going to walk through Saturday and Sunday again coming up with Futurecast. We've got the high-resolution models in for most of Saturday, so we'll take a look at that. And of course, we see cooler temperatures for early to mid next week. So once we get past that hot day Saturday, it does look better.
Elizabeth, sounds great. More money for pre-K and pay raises for county workers. It's all included in the Durham County's proposed budget. Ahead at 4, get a closer look at the $889 million proposal and what it means for you.
Also this evening, we take you on a scientific journey to catch, tag, study, and release the ultimate predator. The thought of 1,000-pound sharks with dozens of razor-sharp teeth may send chills up your spine, but their presence is actually good news for fishermen and your dinner table. We'll explain why tonight at 6. Still ahead this noon hour, is artificial intelligence the end of financial advisors? New reports showing AI is better at picking stocks than humans and what it means for the industry.
Plus, migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border anxiously await the end of Title 42. It would do away with limitations to asylum requests. We hear from those looking to benefit from the change.
Would you let a chatbot powered by artificial intelligence make your financial decisions?
Two recent reports are adding fuel to the debate. They're showing that ChatGPT outperformed experts when it comes to picking stocks. Shelley Malassi has more from experts on how AI could revolutionize finance.
Artificial intelligence already impacting the way we work, live, and play. And now evidence showing its impact is also disrupting the financial industry. ChatGPT, a chatbot powered by AI, can apparently pick stocks better than your fund manager. That's according to a new experiment conducted by the financial comparison site Finder.com.
It just doesn't carry the bias that most humans do. So I'm not surprised we're seeing the first wave of AI outperform humans when it comes to portfolio management.
The results of the experiment show that during an eight-week period, a basket of 38 stocks selected by ChatGPT gained nearly 5%, outperforming 10 leading investment funds in the UK, which reported an average loss of 0.8%. Meanwhile, a recent study from the University of Florida revealed ChatGPT could predict the stock price movements of specific companies more accurately than some more basic analysis models. While major funds have used AI for years, economist Joe Brusalis says the technology is now in the hands of the average consumer for free, and it's up to you to decide whether it can guide your financial decisions.
The promise of this is for American households and their finances is that it's going to bolster the overall management of money. You're going to have better returns at lower prices, and you're going to be able to do more and invest in a wider array of products that suit your own individual preferences and needs.
Experts say AI can also help you create a budget and tell you how much to save per month in order to reach your long-term goals like saving for a home or retirement.
Shoppers are seeing relief at the grocery store. Data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics found prices ticked down last month. Milk dropped 2%, fruit and vegetables dropped 0.5%, and meat, poultry, fish, and eggs also dipped slightly. Meanwhile, eating out has gotten more expensive. Prices at restaurants were up nearly 0.5% last month.
Fewer people are subscribing to Disney Plus. New data from the streaming service shows its number of subscribers went down by about 4 million in the first quarter of 2023. There are still almost 160 million subscribers to the service, and Variety reports success at the company's theme parks is helping to offset the losses. Still ahead this noon, Raleigh neighbors are encouraged to turn out and discuss the future of the Five Points Street intersection. What city leaders are presenting as an option for a fix coming up? Plus, what we know about the end of the COVID era rule, Title 42, and what its end today means for migrants and border towns. Before we go to break, here are the winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The city of Raleigh is working to keep people who drive and walk safer on the roads in one busy neighborhood.
Today, folks will be able to view and comment on the plans for the Five Point Streetscape project. WRAL's Nye Harden explains how officials are trying to prevent crashes.
Well, today the city expects hundreds of people to be at their open house as they talk about the pros and the cons when it comes to changing this intersection here on Glenwood. New video shows the now three options on the table. Concept one being the easiest, making some changes to how traffic signals operate. Concept two, a single lane roundabout shaped like a peanut. And concept three would be two lanes in both directions on Glenwood and one lane on the other sides. This comes as the intersection has had a history of crashes, including one in 2021 when a car plowed through a sidewalk cafe and crashed into an art gallery. The city will run through costs tied to these options. Raleigh Transportation Supervisor Jason Myers telling WREL one of these projects could cost as much as $10 million.
Variety is not worth the expense. And of course, even if this study makes a determination with the public's input about what we want to do eventually, it will be up to city councils in the future of Raleigh to decide where they'll invest city resources in and when we will do something that's in our plan, because we have many other projects we also want.
So far, 700 people have completed the feedback survey, and they're going to hear from more people tonight. From 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock, you'll be able to participate in that open house and get information about this. This is going to be at the Five Point Center for Active Adults. That's on Noble Road. Nia Harden, WREL News in Raleigh.
Durham will soon be a safer place for people to ride bikes. The city is adding 8 miles of new bike lanes with buffers. That cyclist space will require narrowing some roads and losing lanes in some cases. The change could force cars to slow down. Bike Durham's executive director tells WREL this is another step toward making Durham a more walkable and bike-friendly city.
The idea is that we're going to have a citywide network of these protected bike lanes, the trails that we have and that the city is developing, and also slow streets.
Construction on these bike lanes will begin this summer. They're paid for through a combination of federal grants and local matches.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, the Carolina Hurricanes have the chance to close out a series at home on home ice tonight against the New Jersey Devils. They are up 3-1 in the series against the Devils, so if they win, they will move on. We actually caught up with Jordan Stahl and Marty Natchez, and they said that the group needs to build off what they did in Game 4.
It's going to take our best to finish off this team, and we know we need everyone too, so it's very important to have a great start and get after early.
Playing home game, it's big opportunity to close the series, but it's all about us. You know, we want to play just like we played second and third period last game, and if you do that, we have a big chance to win a game.
Yeah, if they do that, they are golden. Game 5 is tonight at PNC Arena. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock. Go Canes.
A Johnston County woman will spend the rest of her life behind bars after being found guilty of killing her boyfriend. A judge convicted Daisy Martinez of stabbing her live-in boyfriend, Martin Garcia, to death in April of 2021. The judge sentenced her to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Martinez was also convicted in 2017 of felony child abuse after her 3-year-old son died. Investigators say he wasn't eating, he was vomiting, and suffered lockjaw. By the time Martinez took him to the hospital, it was too late.
Title 42 expires today. The policy gave the U.S. government power to quickly expel migrants at the southern border. For days now, the number of migrants waiting to cross has been surging. You're looking live at the area in El Paso, Texas, the border of U.S. and Mexico. Gloria Pazmino is on the ground in El Paso with more.
Es la voluntad de Dios porque voy para mi familia.
Eric Mendoza is breaking down. He faces the possibility of deportation after making the months-long trek from his native Honduras. He says he paid $50 for the set of documents. It's a likely scam many migrants, desperate for answers, are falling prey to.
Porque quiero entrar legal.
He says he wants to be here legally. Just like him, there are thousands more in El Paso.
Why did you leave Venezuela?
Rosaura Rivas says her husband and 4 kids fled violence from Venezuela. They spent the last month at this shelter. She helps out in the kitchen, trying to save money to buy bus tickets to Denver, where they have friends. With thousands of migrants waiting to cross the border, the Opportunity Center for the Homeless in El Paso can barely keep up.
We need to do what's right by these folks. They've gone through so much.
The federal government estimates more than 150,000 migrants are waiting in shelters and on the streets in Mexican states that border the U.S. While thousands have crossed, many more have been apprehended, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Meanwhile, El Paso city officials are working to open up emergency shelters and say the city is at a breaking point.
We want to be able to find a solution to how do we take care of the human person, because they are human beings.
In the meantime, federal officials are trying to discourage migrants from crossing.
Let me be clear. The lifting of the Title 42 public health order does not mean our border is open. In fact, it is the contrary.
Those who are already here wait and do their best with what they have. Others try to stay connected and hopeful, while their families on the other side of a screen are a constant reminder of why they're here. In El Paso, Texas, I'm Gloria Pasmino.
There is no easy solution when it comes to opioid addiction. How one county is tackling the problem and looking for input. And you could say the band is back together for a great cause. How nonprofits and music bands are coming together to help families find safe places to live. Today's County by County coverage takes us to Halifax, Harnett, and Nash counties.
Starting in Halifax County, where the Sheriff's Office has released its weekly crime data report. The department received over 700 calls for service in the first week of May. A total of 41 people were arrested and six firearms have been seized. On average, there are about 146 inmates in the county's jail. So far, 30 citations have been issued.
Harnett County is looking for community feedback on its opioid task force. The two-minute survey will help the group understand priorities when addressing opioid addiction. You can share your input on topics such as housing, healthcare access, and drug treatment court. To participate and share your concerns, go to harnettcounty.gov.
And the 25th annual Blooming Festival kicked off in Nash County. Families can enjoy carnival fun and good music today through Saturday. There'll be trackless train rides, a parade, craft vendors, and more. The party gets started at 7 p.m. tonight. For ticket information, visit the Nashville Blooming Festival Facebook page.
A local business donated $5,000 to help a historic church that was recently vandalized. This is a story we've been following for you all week. Granville County deputies say four teens damaged Grove Hill Church last week. WRL has now learned that Stevenson General Contractors in Clayton donated the money to help with repairs. Veterans in need can get important help in downtown Fayetteville today. The city is teaming up with the VA's coastal healthcare system to provide housing assistance, food, health screenings, and benefit counseling. It's happening at 2 this afternoon today at Festival Park.
We will learn the full NFL schedule later today. The league plans to release the dates and times for all 32 teams' games at 8 o'clock tonight. Yesterday, we learned the matchups and dates for the league's five games to be played in Europe this year. North Wilkesboro Speedway is putting finishing touches on the racetrack ahead of the 2023 NASCAR All-Star Race Week. Fans painted the finish line yesterday. Race starts next Tuesday and finishes up on the 21st with the NASCAR Cup Series All-Star Race. Speedway was a dirt track when it opened in 1947. It closed in 1996 and only brought back races last summer. The All-Star Race was held at Charlotte Motor Speedway from 1987 to 2019.
Is the distinctive New York accent disappearing? Hear from a linguist about this new theory and what generation lacks the accent the most. Plus, learn more about the concert supporting housing initiatives in our area and how you can give your part in the effort.
Real New Yorkers, which I'm not, tend to have a distinctive way of speaking. According to a language professor, many people in the Big Apple are losing their accents. Many New Yorkers, our linguist and linguistic professor Michael Newman, believe that New York English may be disappearing. Newman says some of the features that have been traditionally associated with New York City English are diminishing and believes the younger generations are a clear example of this.
Particularly the generation between Gen Z and the millennials, it's been falling off pretty rapidly. What's being lost is the final R. You get in a car and you go to the bar. And that's now becoming car and bar.
Yeah, he says over time, newcomers, especially in Manhattan and parts of Brooklyn, are diluting the sound of the New York City dialect. Although Newman says language is always evolving, New Yorkers' accents will never be silenced entirely. A furry member of the Durham Police Department is home this morning after a successful surgery. This is Rudy here. The department tweeted last week that he would be undergoing surgery for a tumor. They posted this picture announcing the success last night, adding that he will be sporting that cone of shame for a little while until he can return to work.
The splash pad at Jack Smith Park in Cary is now open for some summer fun. The spray ground has 7 water features, including jets and buckets. It's open for children 12 and under and will be open until the middle of September. There are a few days set aside for maintenance. You can check when it's open on the town's website. The Band Together benefit concert is back, and this year it is all about supporting secure housing in our area. United Way and community partners are teaming up to raise $1 million to support local nonprofits focused on making sure Triangle families have a safe place to live. A huge name in music is coming to Raleigh on October 7th for this.
It's called The Mighty Give Back, and we are supporting 20 incredible nonprofit partners. Everybody deserves a home in the Triangle. A home is a foundation. It's sanctuary. I think that's the most important thing for us to support this year.
A months-long education campaign kicked off in Raleigh with housing experts and live local music. It all wraps up with a benefit concert featuring 4-time Grammy Award-winning artist Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. Tickets are available for the concert, but they're going fast. To find out more, go to WRAL.com, search Band Together. WRAL is a proud media sponsor of the event.
All right, you want rain today? Forget about it. You might have to wait till the weekend. All right, are we done with the New York thing? Elizabeth Gardner's over at the WRAL Severe Weather Center right now with a look around town.
Well, Jeff, I'm a good Southerner, so I'm not even going to try. Oh, it's beautiful out there right now. Sunshine in Goldsboro and Apex, Chapel Hill, of course, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and Fayetteville, taking a look at our newsroom. It will have a summer feel for Mother's Day weekend. We started off our newscast talking about that. Tomorrow's going to be another nice day. Our dew points are going to stay low enough that 85 will feel as comfortable as 85 can feel, and it'll be dry. And then Saturday, we're going to see a front that drops across the area. It's going to bring us some scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon and overnight. So we should have a chunk of Saturday that stays dry. And then behind the front, we're drier again, just in time for Mother's Day. We'll see a high of 82, and the humidity drops off a little bit, and we'll have just a small chance of a shower or thunderstorm. Here's a look at the big picture. We have high pressure that's sitting offshore right now. And back to the west, we have showers and thunderstorms moving up the Mississippi Valley. As a matter of fact, we currently have a tornado warning that's down there in Louisiana. But that high pressure system is going to keep all of that to our west for now. Eventually, a cold front's going to sag across our area, but we still have a couple of days before that happens. Here's again a look at the big setup. Flow coming out of the south, bringing extra moisture and warmth, and then the front drops across our area. So I'm feeling a bit more like summer for Saturday. This is the first look at our high-resolution model. We'll kick this off Saturday at 5 a.m. Could be a little cloudy in spots. We should see some sunshine on and off. And then notice by lunchtime, there's the possibility of a shower. But at this point, the cold front's pretty far to our north. So we'll see how the next few runs of the computer models go. That seems a little bit early. Watch what happens by 3 o'clock. Now, here come the thunderstorms that begin to pop up. And around 4 to 6 p.m., we start to see those moving into the viewing area. And that's likely to stick around until midnight or so. Right now, the run only goes out until 9 o'clock, but tune in to Cat and Mike this evening, and they'll have a little bit later run that goes closer to midnight. All right, tracking Sunday. Sunday, we're going to wake up to mostly cloudy skies. We should see a little bit of sunshine that peeks through from time to time. Here's lunchtime, and then we'll pause it at around 5 o'clock. And at that point, there could be an isolated shower or thunderstorm, but nothing like what we'll see Sunday. It'll be a much drier day for us overall. How much rain total for both days? Well, actually, this will be Saturday. We'll pause it right there Sunday at 10. It's just going to depend on where those storms end up popping up on Saturday. We're looking at probably somewhere between a quarter of a half an inch in most places. Again, here's a look at our chances. That chance goes up Saturday night to 40% from 30 during the day. Sunday is just a 20% chance. And we do have the potential for some unsettled weather for Monday, Tuesday, and that should be out of here by Wednesday. Spring commencement on Saturday, looking good Saturday morning. Meredith graduates starting at 8:30, 67 degrees. Fayetteville State at 9 a.m. 71 degrees, and Shaw at 10 a.m. 75 degrees. But again, the rain will hold off until much later in the day. And then on Sunday, most of the day looks dry. Graduations at Duke and UNC starting at 9 a.m. Temperatures close to 70 degrees. That's an extra gift for moms of graduates, Mother's Day and graduation. After that, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are cooler and certainly a bit unsettled as well.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Still ahead this noon, we have a preview of the upcoming real-life story behind a favorite snack and when you can watch it on Hulu and Disney+.
It is the story behind the world famous Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Here's your first look at Flamin' Hot.
Would you eat them? Do you eat them? The new movie is about a Frito-Lay janitor who turns his Mexican-American heritage into the snack food sensation. The real story features Richard Montañez's realization that adding a spicy flavor to the chips created an irresistible flavor. Eva Longoria directed the movie, which premieres on Hulu and Disney Plus June 9th. Sounds tasty.
Yeah, love that cultural twist.
It is right there. Beyonce returns to the stage as she kicks off her Renaissance world tour. It could make her billions.
The singer opened up her first solo tour in 7 years in Stockholm, Sweden last night. And according to the report, the Renaissance World Tour could earn nearly $2.4 billion just from ticket sales alone. The average ticket price to see Beyonce perform live is $685. Whoa. The North American leg of the tour starts in July, and the closest that she'll be coming to here will be in August. She'll be performing in Charlotte. She also has an Atlanta performance,
too. And I thought it was very interesting as she started overseas. She wasn't doing as much of the dancing as some of her other dancers that she had in the mix.
Yeah, she was kind of leaving the choreography to the other dancers and still singing. But, I mean, she's known to be a good dancer, so that was something people noticed.
We'll see if it changes. Mm-hmm. How about this? A 5-foot alligator was found roaming in Florida through the town's underground storm pipes.
Oviedo's Public Works stormwater crew was investigating a series of potholes that appeared in the road, and the crew sent this 4-wheel robotic camera into the pipes to detect any defects underground. During the inspection, video captured the 5-foot alligator, which was initially thought to be a toad, but a lot bigger than a toad. Mm. The camera followed it through the pipes before the device got stuck.
I'd say they found their defect.
In North Carolina, a curious cat was checking out a bathroom remodeling project and ended up becoming part of it.
Surf City firefighters posted photos on the Facebook page showing this rescue. That cat had crawled into a hole in the floorboards during construction. No one noticed it until it was too late. Firefighters removed the brand new shower floor and the cat popped up. They had finished the whole thing and then they had to tear it apart.
Oh, thank goodness they found the cat, though. Today's pet of the day, a big-eyed beauty. Meet Belle. She's a 7-year-old, lovely, well-behaved dog, as described by the SPCA of Wake County. Belle was surrendered when her owner fell ill and could no longer care for her. She is house-trained and knows lots of commands. Belle has been around older kids and does great. She's also very polite with senior citizens. To give Belle a loving home, you can reach out to the SPCA of Wake County.
And we wrap up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Some good news for people on the hunt for a home in the Triangle. Prices are down tens of thousands of dollars from when they peaked this time last year. New numbers show the median price in Raleigh fell to $420,000 in the first 3 months of this year, a 4.3% drop from the same time last year.
In Cumberland County, I-95 is back open right now after a crash caused miles of backups. This is video from WRL Sky 5 this morning. The crash closed all northbound lanes of I-95 near exit 33 near Hope Mills. The crash itself appeared to be under a bridge. No word on any injuries at this time. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update coming up in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Beautiful day out there. Get out there and enjoy it. Have a good one.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.